At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Carbot Brewing Company as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ivy Watney joining us in about 15 minutes. We're inside Pizza and Pints and Carbot, MLB Trade Deadline Day. It's over. Trade deadline is over. We'll get some leaks. We'll get some information of trades that were made right before the buzzer. Dustin tipping us off on this. Buster Olney said that on ESPN on TV that the Twins are paying $33 million of Correa's remaining contract, which factors out to about a third. So 33.3%, repeating, of course, retainment, if that a word, for Correa's salary by Minnesota. You pleased with that number?
I can live with that.
So mediocre prospect, flyer prospect, you take on the money minus the 33% that the Twins are eating, you're good with that?
Yep. Yeah, simply because of the fact that we knew they were going to go over the tax no matter what, and the fact that you didn't really have to give up much to get someone that for the next couple of years is probably going to be more affordable each of the years passing in terms of how high contracts and salaries are going to go, to where I can live with that.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, you're not giving up anything from the system. You're not giving anything of significance from the farm. This is just Jim Crane making a financial commitment. Now, what it does hurt in terms of the farm is the competitive balance tax and what it means for Fromber. That's really the only thing of significance for going over the tax. Repeat offender, like, that's all on Crane. But Fromber, if he does leave in free agency, you get a fourth rounder for him instead of a first rounder for him.
Well, then you just have to re-sign him, Jeremy.
Good.
Just add him back to the mix. That's what we said, that the one thing that they're probably going to be lacking this offseason if Fromber walks. If Fromber doesn't walk, you're loaded for bear for the next several years.
Yep. Maton headed to the Rangers said that one. Charlie Morton is going to the Detroit Tigers, reunites with A.J. Hinch.
Interesting. Interesting that the Tigers haven't done a whole hell of a lot, but they already have two with Flaherty and with Skubal. They have the two at the top of the rotation, and then they add a third starter that's capable in Charlie Morton.
So it looks like the Astros are not going to get Cease unless something breaks in the next – I mean, we're past the deadline now.
It was 2 years ago I was thinking about Cease. Cease 2 years ago threw 8 1/3 – two hits, no runs against the Astros. Almost threw a complete game, two-hitter. So, he's got a 3.35 ERA and 46 strikeouts and 8 appearances against the Astros. He's still a good pitcher.
Cease?
Yeah, you'd love to have him if you could get him, but it just doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, unless the news breaks after. Which, I mean, if this is it, unless we get a piece of information, the Tampa Bay Rays are acquiring Griffin Jax. So the Rays have added some pieces. Blue Jays acquiring Louis Varland from the Twins. Their fire sale continues.
God, the Twins are just selling it.
Yankees are getting Camilo Duval from the Giants, which the Giants have been sellers after acquiring the first baseman from the Red Sox. Not Pablo Sandoval.
No, why can I not think of it? I can see his face.
I was distracted because Chandler Rome just tweeted, the Astros are done. Their trade deadline haul is Correa, Urias, Jesus Sanchez. Talks with Dylan Cease were legitimate and at times picking up steam, but ultimately never got over the finish line. So the Astros are done. Their trade haul, Carlos Correa, with the Twins eating 33% of the salary, a flyer prospect, we don't know who it is yet, trading Ryan Gusto, a couple of flyer prospects to Miami for Jesus Sanchez, and then last night the trade, trading Twine for Ramon Urias of the Orioles. So immediate impressions, Astros, those three trades for what they did at the deadline. Pleased, unpleased, where do you stand?
Super pleased. Rafi Devers, by the way. I had to get
Rafi
that.
Devers, yeah.
From the standpoint of what I was worried about and concerned about, and I said yesterday on the air, with everybody around them that's at the top, hovering above the top in the American League as best teams, all making moves, If you didn't do anything and you hadn't done anything of any kind of significance, I'd be grossly disappointed. I am the exact opposite right now. I'm extremely excited. I'm extremely pleased because, one, they didn't have to give up a whole hell of a lot to get everything that they needed short of starting pitching. But because you also know that you have the potential to get multiple starting pitchers back, that would be exactly what Dylan Cease would be in your rotation, a third starter at best for the guys that you would be getting back. Totally fine with it. Totally excited about what they've done.
All right, so your rotation, you still have Hunter and Fromber at the top.
Yep.
Your number three, I mean, you're looking at Arrigetti. Arrigetti's probably your three. I mean, hopefully you get Colton Gordon back and he can be a factor. You said for now because of Javier?
Brandon Walter, right?
Brandon Walter.
Instead of Gordon? You said Gordon. You said Colton Gordon.
I meant Brandon Walter.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I say Golden?
Yeah.
I mean, I was envisioning Walter.
Yeah, I'm with you because I know you're a Walter fan.
Yeah.
I think Javier last night, the only thing that he threw 60-some pitches. He gave up a couple of runs. I'm not really as concerned about that. But the velo wasn't what he started even and what
I
he did.
I thought the velo was okay.
It's like 92, 93.
It's about where he was.
I thought he could, because early on in one of his first reps, he was like 95.
Yo, I think he touched it. No, but he whenever he was really effective, he was sitting 93, 94. Like, he's never been a super high velo guy. Like, he was always that invisible on top of
yes,
the zone.
Yes, the riser. Yeah, I think that there's the possibility that Javier could be your number three. But the safest bet, because it's the guy that's not coming off of arm surgery, he just broke his thumb, is Arrigetti. So Arrigetti is your three.
Yeah, Arrigetti would be in the mix there. Walter, if he comes back healthy, would be in the mix. Javier, if he can find it, would be in the mix. And then you have a bunch of guys who can start games. Like, I mean, who knows about McCullers, but the guys we just
JP
mentioned,
France,
Golden store around.
Garcia.
Yeah, Gordon, France still around. You know, maybe you even dip into the minors with Eulola.
Yep.
You didn't acquire the reliever that apparently they were, like, looking after, but I still like the bullpen.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm pleased with the bullpen. Your offense, Yiner, Caratini, both of those guys will play even if they're not catching. Walker at first. Who knows what they do at second? Because, Altuve will be in the mix at second and left. You added with the trade Urias. Dubon's still around, obviously. Pena's coming back tomorrow, it looks like. Correa's your third baseman. Your left fielder, either Altuve, either Jesus Sanchez. Like, that'll be interesting to see how they play that out. As of right now, with no Myers, I think you're looking at a Chaz McCormick, Taylor Trammell,
yep.
Jacob Melton didn't get traded today. So, like, those guys would be in the mix and center, and then Cam Smith's in right. And then
yeah.
Jordan, if he comes back, is your DH, of course.
Absolutely. Look, I think that they bettered themselves by leaps and bounds offensively. You have options for Joe Espada from a night-by-night basis based on matchups. And I think that from a pitching staff perspective, what you weren't able to get done, you already know that your pitching staff was above average in baseball, and you're getting some help potentially back with the starters that could come back, which then could also slide some guys to your bullpen to make it better.
Yeah, I think we're all happy, huh?
Extremely happy.
How do you grade the Astros trade deadline? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. A-plus for me. A-plus.
Yeah, I'll echo that. Look, would it have been just complete icing on the cake to add another starting pitcher for this year and or possibly for that and beyond? Sure. But you still have Framber Valdez for the rest of the season. Your 1-2s can be matched up with just about anybody in baseball. And because of that lineup getting so much better, I feel great.
The offense has a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, you need guys to be back. You need guys to get healthy. But you can run out of best nine just kind of brainstorming through the lineup here. Like Peña, Altuve, Yordan, Walker, Sanchez, Yiner. I didn't even mention Correa yet. Whatever you want to do with Dubon, Urias, like this lineup could actually – Myers, if he comes back.
Myers is the big one. If he comes back and he's anywhere close to where he was when he got hurt, that's just a massive bonus because of the fact that the offense was not something that I ever expected to be this consistently good. But you throw him in the mix, I mean, that lineup can hunt with just about anybody in baseball short of, like, the Dodgers powerhouse of what they can do, especially with the top of their batting order. Overall in the American League, I'll put that up against anybody.
Yeah, I would too. How about Altuve's the current DH until Yordan comes back? I think that's very much in play. I don't think they'll make him the permanent DH because they want him to play defense some. And they also like to use the DH to kind of get guys days off without giving them days off. But I think that Altuve could kind of be – well, I mean, you still have Caratini Yiner that you'd both like to play too. So, like, you have some options.
I mean, even with Walker, because you really didn't have – yeah, you play Caratini there every now and then. But Walker's starting to get hot finally, but you have guys you can give days off to that you couldn't afford to give days off to in the past. So you have flexibility if you're Espada to kind of give some guys some rest sometimes so that they're not burnt out.
Texter, Branham, I thought you were Mexican. Pronounced Urias' name right. He's got a weird pronounce. It's not Urias. It's Urias. I was watching some highlights from him yesterday.
Like Guillorme.
Yeah, he's got a weird
instead of
saying.
Guillermo.
It's like maybe it's the accent there, but no, it's not Urias. You'll see because he's going to be playing here pretty soon.
And maybe someone will ask him, "How do you properly say your name?"
They should. Joe Ryan is not going to the Red Sox as a texter. I was really looking forward to getting Cease. I wanted France and Cease to be called Stastros. Cease does have a really good mustache, and France
and
does
JT
too.
JT France did, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, you don't get the number three starter they wanted. They didn't get the leverage reliever that they wanted, which was on. But you're not going to get everything you want.
And
on
you
your
also
wish list.
Can't fault them because they were trying. Because every report we saw was they weren't done. They were still kicking the tires. They were still talking to teams about the two positions you just said. They're talking to San Diego about Cease. They're talking to teams like Tampa about Fairbanks. So we know that they were trying. You can't fault them if they put every effort into still trying to get even better.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, guys. 10 out of 10 trade deadline. Explosive deals all around. My grade that you asked for the Houston Astros, I'm going to go with a B+, and I'm giving them a B+ and not an A+, because they didn't get a reliever and they did not get a starter. If they got one of those two, I think it's an A+. Getting Correa's back is great with Paredes done for the year. Getting the left fielder Sanchez is great with Myers with the injury. And then obviously, you know, Altuve's been kind of up and down at second. You get a Urias to go at a second. It's fantastic. I think it's perfectly fine if Dubon and Caratini, those guys aren't playing every day. Those aren't everyday guys. Walker is getting paid like an everyday guy. He needs to be in there every day. So B+ from me.
All right. Fair enough.
Thank you, Keith. Look, I'm not going to nitpick it that much. I think that would it have been great if they got another starting pitcher? Yes. But would it have been a luxury add? In my opinion, yes, because I do think they're going to get at least one starter back that's going to solidify your three. So, yeah. And again, with every starter that you get back, there's another pitcher that's able to go to your bullpen to potentially make your bullpen stronger.
Mm-hmm. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Heidi Watney from Apple TV. She'll be on the field tomorrow, Astros-Red Sox game one. We'll get her thoughts on the Astros deadline and set up the storylines ahead of that big three-game series at Fenway, which begins tomorrow. Killer Bees broadcasting live at Carbach on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Are you looking to escape the rat race for the weekend? Maybe this trade deadline caused you a lot of stress and anxiety. Hey, well, you can go rest and relax at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston and escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book that stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. From open green spaces, wildlife you just don't see in the city, beautiful majestic trees, and some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat it. You can fish on the Two Creeks. You can fish right there on the lake on the property. Catch and release pond, which is great for the kiddos. And one of the best things, it's only 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Hike their 92-acre property. Do a little kayaking. Play some pickleball or just hang out by the pool with a drink. That's cool, too. Two Creeks Crossing Resort, always looking to take care of their visitors. A barbecue cook-off one weekend. Crawfish boils the next, whenever it's in season, of course. You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. From the glamping to the cabin to the tree houses, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. Book your stay now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Duggar.
Broadcasting live from Carbot Brewing Company as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line, being joined by Heidi Watney. You can catch tomorrow on the Apple TV broadcast of the Astros and the Red Sox, game one of a pivotal three-game series at Fenway between a couple of contenders in the American League. Heidi, thanks for taking a few minutes on this Thursday evening to join us. A lot going on today in Major League Baseball. Astros made the trade for Urias yesterday. They bring back franchise icon Carlos Correa today. Jesus Sanchez, a nice left-handed bat, which was a need for the Astros. What do you make of the Astros' deadline acquisitions?
Well,
I love Carlos Correa coming back. If for nothing else, then just, you know, a boost for a team that's just been ravaged by injuries lately. But I know Correa is excited to go back there. And the team obviously excited. I'm a little surprised they didn't get a pitcher. The rotation's been so depleted this year, and they've still been able to maintain despite that. But I kind of expected them to get a starter. I know they were trying to get a deal with Dylan Cease for the Padres, but the Padres just seemed to acquire just about, a quarter of the players that were available on the market. They have an entire new team out there in San Diego after this trade deadline. So, that surprises me a little bit, the lack of adding, starting pitcher. But I like the moves that they made, adding a couple of versatile pieces in Urias and Sanchez and of course, bringing Carlos Correa back. That's a good one for the fan base.
It's got to be exciting for you, too, Heidi. I mean, you guys are coming on the air with the first game with a matchup with Alex Bregman against Carlos Correa coming out of the trade deadline. That's got to be fantastic for you guys.
Yeah, well, I get to sit down with Alex Bregman tomorrow, and I was going to sit down with Jose Altuve, actually stand up with Jose Altuve in left field and talk about the monster, but we're pivoting for our pregame show. Now we're going to talk to Carlos. I've covered this team and these players throughout their entire, this last 9 years where they've just dominated the division and won two World Series and done so well, and I just love to see these players succeed and the success that this organization has had. So I'm excited to talk with Bregman because, look, I know you guys in Houston were sad to lose him, but I thought if Houston wasn't going to re-sign him, that Boston would have been the best landing spot for him. And by all accounts from everyone around the Red Sox, I mean, outside of the Rafael Devers drama, which was a result of bringing in Bregman the way they did and communication and all of that, but Alex has been fantastic for them, not only on the field, but also in the clubhouse. I mean, everyone just loves him. He's the same guy that he was in Houston where, he's kind of, he quietly behind the scenes is almost like a player coach, and Boston has so many young players that are top prospects that really can use his experience and lean on him in those situations. I mean, it's absolutely a win for Boston, and Bregman's done fantastic there. And we knew he would. He's always hit well in Boston.
Yeah, he has. His numbers there are through the roof. I wanted the entire city to boo Bregman whenever he came to Houston, just out of admiration. It's a term of endearment for me, Heidi. Heidi Watney joining us on the HR&P guest line. She'll be on the Apple TV call tomorrow of the Red Sox and the Astros. Boston has not announced a starter, at least according to MLB, but then Buehler on Saturday, Giolito on Sunday. Astros pretty good. Hunter Brown tomorrow, Gordon Saturday, and then Fromber will be back on the mound on Sunday. A pretty good pitching matchup in all three of these games from a Houston perspective. Obviously, you'd like to see Fromber and Hunter Brown any chance you get. Who are you most excited to see?
Well, we were supposed to get Garrett Crochet and Hunter Brown, and we were excited about that. And then Boston decided to push Crochet back a little bit. I wonder a little bit, just knowing Alex Cora and what a savant he is in that seat, if he's wondering if, potentially the Red Sox would be facing the Astros in the postseason, and he wanted to get Crochet a couple of extra days because, they want to limit his innings a little bit. He's already getting up there this year. So, hey, why don't we push him back? He skips the Astros. If we go head-to-head with them in the postseason, they haven't faced him just the last 2 months. But I don't know that that's the case, but I do wonder that knowing Alex Cora the way I do. Cooper Criswell, I believe, is supposed to start for them. They just recalled him from AAA the other day. So he's in line to start. That's who I think we're getting. With the trade deadline, nothing was confirmed, and they weren't going to confirm anything because you don't know. I mean, it looks like they just got dumped in May. So, as the deadline was nearing an end in Boston. So everything's going to shake down. I mean, the deadline just passed 20 minutes ago, and a lot of times these trades are still being finalized in these last couple of minutes. So we'll see. But, yeah, Hunter Brown, I think he just looks like he's the Friday night pitcher, right? I feel like every time we have the Astros, we see Hunter Brown. But it's a good guy to get. He's such a great pitcher, and he's doing really well this year. I know he had a little bit of a bump in the road recently, a little bit of maybe dead arm, but seems like he's back.
Heidi, I'm curious just because of the fact that we get a little bit biased covering this team every single day, but watching what they've been able to do this year to kind of keep it afloat, you mentioned it and alluded to the fact they lead all of Major League Baseball with guys on the injured list, yet they're five games up in first place with 50-some-odd games left to go. What's your overall take on what this team has done this year and the way they've been able to do it with who they haven't had on their roster?
You know, a lot of times when teams face adversity, such as major injuries or the entire starting rotation hits the IL, or now they've got big-time players. Yordan Alvarez has been out and unable to get back, and then just losing guy after guy. That adversity can crush teams, or that adversity can make teams bond and stronger, right? Like, pressure makes diamonds, right? And it seems like that's what this Astros team is doing. Every injury they've had, someone has stepped up. And that's been the case for them. But you wonder going into this season how they would handle. They've just lost so many players, so many really high-caliber players over the last couple of years, and someone always seems to step up. And I know the American League as a whole seems to be taking a little bit of a step back this year, and there's another reason for Houston to go all in and continue to do what they do. And if they can get, you know, healthy and get some of these guys, on the pitching side back, I think position player wise they're going to be fine. And they, made some moves now. And but I just think that the way that they've handled the adversity, and someone's always stepped up, and it helps to have a leader like Jose Altuve. He's a selfless guy. He's going to be out there. He's going to do what's best for the team. And he may not be a loud rah-rah guy, but you can watch him and say, this is what I need to do, and this is what it takes to be successful. And, you know, the team is falling in line.
Would you go as far to say they're a World Series contender? Can they win it all?
They can. They can. I wouldn't say they're my favorite right now on paper, but they're certainly a healthy team. They're a good team. Sorry, not healthy. They are a very good team. And we've seen it, right? We saw 2 years ago with the Rangers and the Diamondbacks in the World Series, and no one would have predicted that on July 30th of 2023. A team just needs to get hot in the postseason. They need to be healthy, and they need to go on a run. So, yes, can the Astros? Certainly. And they are in position to make the postseason, and they have the talent to take them very far. It just depends on, how they play come October.
What are your thoughts on Dana Brown and Joe Espada? We had a lot of question marks and didn't know what we didn't know about Dana in terms of how much the owner meddled and others like Bagwell and Reggie Jackson in the past. And then a guy like Joe Espada taking over for Dusty Baker, a legend in baseball, and then wondering how much was really him or what was left in the clubhouse and the jobs they've done this year.
I have always been a fan of Joe Espada. A few years ago when Bruce Bochy left the San Francisco Giants, I thought that they would hire Joe Espada and wanted them as someone who grew up a fan of San Francisco. And you always kind of have those allegiances in your back pocket. And then they hired Gabe Kapler, and obviously we've all seen how that turned out. Brilliant baseball man. He has learned from some of the best. He's been a bench coach to some, like, in great organizations and learned from some great people. But he also is just a really smart, savvy baseball guy, and everyone likes him. He's just a likable guy. I think he took over. Dusty Baker came in with a really talented squad, and he's a legend. Like you say, I absolutely love him. But he inherited a really good team. Joe came in with players that were leaving and a lot of injuries and a lot of turnover and is at the end of the dynasty. And he's done really well with that group and really well with some younger players coming up and plugging and playing and, Cam Smith. And I mean, obviously the moves, the roster he's given is done by Dana Brown, right? But he and Jim Crane and all of that. But Joe's done a really, really good job with the pieces that he's had despite a number of injuries to keep this team in first place in the AL West.
Heidi, great insight as always. We appreciate you coming on, talking about the deadline a bit, and then, of course, tomorrow, Game 1, Red Sox-Astros, big series in Fenway in Apple TV, and you will be on the call. Thank you so much, and we'll catch up down the road.
My pleasure. Take care.
You got it. It's Heidi Watney, Apple TV. She'll be on the call tomorrow, Red Sox-Astros. That's going to be a fun series. I love games at Fenway because Fenway's a cool park. Yep. You have Bregman. Bregman asked for a day off yesterday so he can be rested and ready to go for the Astros. He's not sneaky. I know what he's up to. Correa's going to be there. Altuve's going to be there. Hunter Brown on the bump tomorrow. That's going to be a fun one.
No doubt. And two of these first three games against the Red Sox, or two of the three games against the Red Sox, national TV, if you go with the Roku game on the very early 11 a.m. start on Sunday. But front and center, right after all these moves that Dana Brown was able to pull off, it's going to be a really, really fun series because, like you said, you know Bregman's going to be all over this. But now the Astros can actually match that with getting Correa back and knowing that everybody wants to get back at their old teammates and see how it all plays out. And both teams fighting for playoff positioning.
You ready for the name that's going to Minnesota? Matt Mikulski.
Bye.
High A lefties headed to Minnesota in return for Correa. So the Astros get Carlos Correa. Minnesota gets Matt Mikulski and eats 33% of his salary.
Bon appetit.
That's a good trade.
Yeah, it's a great trade.
I get that it puts you into the CBT, and I get that Correa's numbers don't look great this year, although he's been better lately. You added Jesus Sanchez and Carlos Correa and Ramon Urias for almost nothing.
Yeah. You didn't trade any of the guys that we thought
that guy.
You didn't trade Bryce Matthews. You didn't trade Jacob Melton. You didn't trade any of the pitchers that other franchises might have looked at from your system. I think it's a huge win.
All right, your thoughts on the deadline. Hey, great at force. A, B, C. What are you at? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from Pizza and Pites inside of Carbach on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Loot and Rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Carbach Brewing Company as part of ESPN Houston's Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We're inside Pizza and Pints. Carbach's Beer Garden Bash a month away. 11 a.m., 6 p.m., August 31st. Yard games, hot dog eating contest. Blanker's going to do a dozen in 10 minutes. Local vendors, cold beer, much, much more. It's awesome. Petting zoo. So go ahead and put that in the calendar now. Carbach's Beer Garden Bash, August 31st, 11 a.m., 6 p.m. over at the brewery. You're going to love that. 713-780-ESPN. How much are you liking this deadline? 713-780-3776. Texture, do you fellas watch games or just look at stats? I do neither. I'm a huge casual. I don't watch games. I don't look at stats. I don't do any of that. I just go home and read books.
Is that a
mostly
text?
Poetry. Yeah.
I would expect that from other areas.
No, I don't do any. I don't watch games. Yeah. I don't look at stats.
Forget watching a game twice.
Why would you have to do that if you don't have to? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Jacob, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, guys. Man, I'm so excited about Correa. I think he brings the toughness to this team that we're kind of lacking a little bit. And I think it's going to spark Altuve also. One other thing is I think it's time to just put McCullers in the bullpen, have him stay in the bullpen. That way when playoffs come around, he already knows what he's doing. He can come out. He can be effective out of the bullpen. This team, it's starting to remind me of the 2022 team, especially if Yordan can come back and get healthy, especially with the bullpen we got and the versatility we have now. It reminds me a lot of the 2022 team, and I'm super excited about Correa and down the stretch. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call. I think there's a name that we, all day today have basically omitted from any conversation about starters and pitchers and what happens with the Astros going forward because of the fact that it has just been too tumultuous of a season for Lance McCullers. Do I think he's going to the bullpen? No. Do I think that if he did, I'd have confidence in him? No. I think that if he can give you anything anymore for the rest of this season, which remains to be seen, and if this blister truly puts him out 6 weeks or however long it's going to put him out, it may have put him out of the plans for the rest of the year for the Houston Astros in my mind. But I'm not counting on Lance McCullers, and I don't know how many more chances he's going to get this year.
Yeah, I think this blister might be season-ending.
Yep.
I think the blister could cost him the rest of the year. Our guy, Astros Future, on Twitter, Jimmy Price, he comes on with us every now and then. Yep. The Matt Mikulski is a 26-year-old reliever signed to a minor league deal back in May. It's not even a prospect.
It's not.
It's not even a prospect that the Astros traded for Correa.
It's just to consummate the deal and make it look like there was actually a trade of some sort. Basically, this was just a massive salary dump by the Minnesota Twins, who are for sale and trying to cut the bottom line. And the Astros were able to swoop in and capitalize because he had the no trade, and the only team he wanted to go to if he was leaving Minnesota was back to Houston.
Yeah, that's exactly what this texture, he mentions that too. He says that, you know, this trade was because Correa has a no trade, only wanted to be in Houston. Minnesota wanted to dump it. Yeah, absolutely, that's it. But a 26-year-old reliever in high A that was signed to a minor league contract in May is not even a prospect.
Bye.
That's the only thing that's going to Minnesota in return for Correa. It's purely a salary dump. That's what it is.
And just look at everything Minnesota did. They are, if you didn't know it already, which most of us did, they are doing everything to try and facilitate a sale of the team and the person buying the team to not be left with a whole bunch of liability for the long term with big salaries.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Yeah, it's quite the win. 7-1-3.
And in the process, you alienate your fan base.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, yeah, it's. I have to imagine Twins fans aren't too pleased with where the organization's at right now. MLB Network said Altuve was part of the trade with a call to the owners saying, "Let's get it done." After talking to Correa, that's pretty cool. That's a nice little neat caveat to that whole thing.
What was it again?
That Altuve talked to Crane, said, "Let's get it done."
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much that's actually like mattered,
yeah,
but it's cool that he did it.
Yeah.
Chandler Rome says Astros GM Dana Brown said Jesus Sanchez will play a, quote, a bunch of left and every now and then in right when Smith needs a break. That's a little different than what McTaggart tweeted.
So what does that mean, that Altuve is going to play a lot of second?
Yeah, or they DH until Yordan comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, your best nine, assuming health. If we're assuming health here like that, this is optimal best nine postseason rolls around. This is the nine you're running with. Yiner, Caratini, catcher. Walker at first, Altuve at second, Pena at short, Correa at third, Sanchez in left, Myers in center, Smith in right, and Yordan's your DH. That's a pretty formidable nine, guys. That's a pretty decent lineup.
It's really good.
Decent lineup.
And the fact that you've been able to use Caratini in essentially three different spots with his versatility means that you just have, again, you have so many different options if you're Joe Espada for so many different talented players finding a way into this lineup, no matter who they're facing, what pitcher it is, and what the matchups say, from a team that just went to starting five space Cowboys in their starting lineup for a good stretch of the season. That's unreal in this amount of time.
Swab tweeted that the Astros are under the tax threshold. I don't know how that's
possible. How's that possible?
I don't know. Like, they were right up against it before this. And even though that Minnesota's paying, you know, a third of Correa's salary.
They didn't trade out any other salaries, though.
No. Like, Correa's still making 11.5 this year. Maybe maybe because you don't owe all of that. I don't know. Like, I don't believe
how it's possible.
I don't believe that, quite frankly. If they are under, that's even a major one.
Because
you added Sanchez, too. And, like, Sanchez is still cheap, but that's still a couple million bucks.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy that
one. And weren't they
one.
Just teetering on, like, a couple million under it?
Yeah, like a few million. I don't believe it.
I don't know how that's possible.
I don't believe that part. Swab earned his keep today. We'll have him on tomorrow at 5, but I'll have to ask him tomorrow if we don't get some more information how in the world they stayed under the competitive balance. Like, I'm not buying that yet.
I'm not
I'll have to look into that. Garrick, the thing that excites me the most is they made these moves without giving up Kevin Alvarez, Bryce Matthews, Walker Yannick, Jacob Melton, and Miguel Uloa. Yes. Like, they've added significant pieces to this roster to literally make them a World Series contender. And you didn't strip away the farm at all. Gusto's the best piece.
Yes, and that's fine. Like, if you're giving up a minor league pitcher that, again, you can play who the is that guy, that you don't even have any ties to and you didn't draft, and you're
who
giving
the
up.
F- is that guy?
Yes, and you're not giving up guys that we were wondering if they would be at least having to shop, because going into the as we got closer to the deadline, all we kept hearing was the Astros can't compete with these other big-time, big farm system teams that had plenty of assets to give up to get better. They got significantly better today on multiple fronts with multiple players and really didn't tap into all of their key assets.
And not Reynolds.
Yes.
They're not Reynolds. Carlos Correa is signed through at least 28. And if he has four more vesting options. Now he has to do things in order for those vesting options to vest. But he's here for at least the next – this
three,
year and three more.
And three more, yeah.
Jesus Sanchez is here for, what is it, this year and next year,
yep,
or two more?
Yep,
Sanchez have two more?
I thought it was.
Arias has this year and next year. So, like, all three of the guys that you acquired today are here for at least next season.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's
there. You didn't get Reynolds. Dana Brown cooked, man. Like, he did.
He did.
Some people are a little upset he didn't get Cease. Not upset, but, like, who's your third starter? And, like, maybe for them to reach their full potential, they need one of these injured guys to be a legit three-starter, whether it's Eric Geddy, whether it's Javier, whether it's Luis Garcia. Maybe it's the return of Brandon Walter. They might need one of those guys to hit and be a legit three-starter. But you have a chance to have a good offense. You have Hunter. You have Fromber. You have on the backside Abreu and Hader. I like this roster a lot.
I love it. I love it. I think they have as good a chance of anybody in the American League to represent the league in the World Series. And I think that they did everything that I wasn't sure they were capable of doing to make sure that they were right there in the mix.
Sanchez, two more years.
That's
so he has
great.
This year and then two more as well. So, like, you have a formidable left-handed bat for this year and the next two seasons that can play either corner outfield position. I love
when
what Tanner Brown did, man.
When you think about the wish list as we got in closer to the deadline, we knew that they needed a left-handed bat. Done.
Yep.
We knew that as we found out more information about Paredes, we needed a replacement, if only for the short term, but even still as it relates to even going forward after that. Done with Correa. You look at everything that they were able to do short of a relief pitcher and or a starting pitcher, and you're getting, again, you're getting starters that are going to presumably be back.
Yep.
And when you do, someone's going to move to the bullpen, which makes that part of the bullpen better. I don't know how they didn't cover all their bases.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a super nitpick, you would say third starter, leverage
yes.
righty
yes.
in the pen. But I'm not. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm all right.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line one final time today. Jeff, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, it wasn't the worst move we made. This year, Correa bat maybe, what, 250, 268 home runs. I mean, he's right now healthy, maybe the fifth best bat on the team. But we're not healthy, so I think he's definitely going to help. I don't know a lot about that left-hander hitters to speak on, but I think it would have helped for sure if we would have got a solid pitcher. But I give maybe a B-.
Okay. Yeah, that's thanks, probably
Jeff.
A little bit on the critical side, but, I mean, yeah. Everybody has different feelings about it, and we encourage all of that.
Yeah. Some people are going to be critical of Correa because of the fact they just look at the numbers for this year.
I mean, his 2025 offensive numbers are below average. Like, there's no arguing that. That is a fact. Now, you can look at last year's numbers and be like, wow, that guy was really good offensively. Hit over 300. His OPS was like 850. You look at his last 63 games where he's hitting 291 and he has an OPS of 762. Like, that plays. Like, 762 OPS plays, especially at a premium defensive position at third, which, by the way, Correa's never played third base, I don't think, in a big league game. I remember watching the WBC because he was still an Astro. I remember him watching play third base because Lindor played short.
Mm-hmm.
And look, that was a long time ago, and he's aged since then. He was unbelievable defensively at third base. I think Correa is going to be unbelievable defensively at third.
And that's so big for a team that was desperate to replace Paredes because, you know, when we first saw him pull up, we're like, well, God, hope he's back in September or hope it's not too serious. Now to hear the rumors that came out today about the fact that the prognosis could be 6 to 7 months, This is exactly what the doctor ordered as the best case scenario. We talked about Arenado, Suarez, Correa. And I think we both settled on the fact of the three guys we'd most like to have Correa, and you got him.
No, this is a fun deadline for sure. And then how they handle this going forward, probably a conversation for tomorrow. What kind
yep.
of,
yep.
you know, what do they do with Sanchez? I mean, Correa's going to pencil at third. What it mean? I like Arias. Like, I'm a fan of his. I messaged my guy, Kevin Brown, who's the TV guy with Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I sent him a message like, hey, tell me what I need to know. And he said that Arias is the most underappreciated player we've had here while I've been here. Super solid guy. I'm not happy we traded him. Gold Glove in 22, below average last 2 years. Very good this year defensively. Good third baseman, can play anywhere else on the infield. Very solid bat. Just above league average hitter every year. Doesn't often get overwhelmed. Terrific situational hitter. Very nice pickup. And that dude's on your bench. Dubon's on your bench.
You got him and Dubon. You got two guys that most teams would kill for.
I like this team.
The depth is fantastic.
I like this team. I like what Dana Brown did today.
Me
all right, 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Uh-huh.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The ball's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Thank you so much to Carbach Pizza and Pints for hosting us today. Hospitality, fantastic. The cold beer, very good. Did you enjoy their pizza?
Really good.
Looks very good. I got mine to go. I like the bread, the dough, I should
their
say.
Their crust and the way that brick oven cooks it.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, the char it gets on it.
Yep,
the
love
char
it.
Is fantastic.
Joel didn't get his to go.
No, I did not.
Joel has one slice left of that whole pizza.
I'm right.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna put him on blast.
Well, Brian did.
Oh, we talked about it before.
Yep.
Out at Nick's place.
I like to look out and take care of my teammates.
Nah.
I like
to look out as I throw them under the bus.
I never ever blast people at the station.
No, of course. Why would you?
Or negative about them. I would never do that. Car wrecks of the day, 713-780-3776. Do you know, real quick, before car wreck of the day,
yes.
Do you know we have NFL football tonight?
Yes,
there's a preseason football game tonight. Chargers-Lions. I'm betting it.
Someone mentioned it to me.
You're betting it?
I'm going to do something this preseason.
Oh. Someone mentioned it to me in passing this morning, and I was like, wait, it's tonight?
I didn't realize it. I saw it in my prep today. I had no idea.
And then trying to enhance my chances of watching it. Well, thankfully, because the Astros aren't playing, I'll probably see some of it.
Yeah.
But do you know who's starting for the Chargers?
I read it, but I forgot.
Trey Lance.
Oh, okay.
So at least you get to see if he actually could play a little bit.
No, actually, I didn't read that. I read somebody starting for the Lions. Who's starting for the Lions? I think it's some random quarterback.
It might be Teddy Bridgewater if he's trying to pay off his high school
drop?
No.
Expenses.
Is he? He's not on the roster, is
no,
he?
No, he was last year, though.
Kyle Allen. I knew it.
Oh, okay.
Go Cougs.
Well, there you go.
I knew the connection. So, I am going to bet it. I've always made fun of people who bet on preseason football. But, I mean, it's football season. Is this new, by the way, where they do it on Thursday? I thought the Hall of Fame game was on Saturday.
I always thought it was
Thursday.
Yeah, I thought it was the game Saturday night and the ceremony is Sunday.
I thought it was Saturday.
I did, too. I never thought it was Thursday.
Brian, whenever he speaks to us with conviction and the
he's
amount
wrong.
Of times he's
Look
wrong, I can't believe his
Look
conviction. I don't know. But, no, here's what I'm doing this preseason. I'm going to bet the underdog on the money line every single game.
You have some numbers to back that up?
No.
Just a gut feel?
No.
Okay.
Vibes,
right.
baby.
Just
I'm
vibes.
A vibes guy.
Okay.
I'm going to bet the – because, like, I mean, they're a coin flip game, right? Don't you think that in the preseason
yeah.
when they're not playing starters,
sure.
they're playing guys who are going to get cut, don't you think it's a coin flip game?
Yes.
And
absolutely.
If I can get the underdog every single time at plus 120 to plus 140, and I bet it every single time.
I see.
Like, that's plus EV,
how many,
right?
How many
Isn't that plus EV?
How many of these are you going to bet?
Every one.
Every single one?
I'm going to bet a unit every single – see how it goes. Experiment. If I lose, I'll write it off. I don't know if I can do that. I'm pretty sure I can. But I feel like that's plus EV. Underdog, money line, every game. Cannot lose, baby. To the moon! All right, what's your car wreck of the day?
Betting preseason football.
I mentioned I was watching Yankees and Rays last night, which went extra innings, but it was really entertaining back and forth the last couple innings. Austin Wells of the Yankees on a team that has been horrible running the bases all year was on first base with one out, and the Yankees tried to bunt him into scoring position to potentially get him home. And the pitcher fielded the bunt through to first. Wells got to second, thought there were two outs, turned around, started walking to the dugout, taking off his batting gloves, and got tagged out. Like, what in the hell are you doing?
It happens a lot with them, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All year, their base running blunders. Remember the throw Acuna made from right field?
Mm-hmm.
But the third base coach never told him to slide, and it was an easier play to just sweep tag him and going, who's not telling him to get down?
Yeah, that was rough.
I love seeing it happen to the Yankees.
That was mine, too. That was the only
was
one I
it?
Had today. Yeah. Boone, I don't know about Boone, man. Like, does he not teach these guys? Run around a little
Someone,
bit?
Someone, one of his coaches is supposed to. They have a base running coach. Every
yeah.
team, the coach has multiple responsibilities.
They still won, so I guess that's good. You have another one?
Yeah, the Foo Fighters and Nine Inch Nails made the last trade of the day. They've traded drummers. In a rare move, the former Foo Fighter, Josh Freese, is going to rejoin Nine Inch Nails, while Nine Inch Nails' drummer, Ian Rubin, is going to go join the Foo Fighters. No word on any future considerations or draft picks, but that was the trade.
Has that ever happened?
I've never heard of that before.
I haven't either.
I like when people use the singular version of Foo Fighter. I'm not judging. I find it funny.
Well, I mean, collectively, they're the Fighters. A single one is a fighter.
A singular member
right.
is a Foo Fighter.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Like,
I just like it.
Like Houston Astro, Carlos Correa.
Correct.
Carlos Correa, member of the Houston Astros, yeah. collectively as a unit, you have to throw in the S. You should know about S's at the end of things.
So that, would that mean an individual member of Nine Inch Nails is a Nine Inch Nail?
Yeah.
Hmm. Possibly. Yeah.
I like that one less.
That's a long nail.
Yeah, so I like that one. I like that one less.
What do you have, Brian?
I have the Minnesota Twins for just being apparently the poorest of the poor in Major League Baseball. I don't know if you saw the tweet from Bob Nightingale, but apparently they're $440 million in debt as a franchise.
Yes, yes.
And so, yeah, just an absolute dumpster fire there.
How do you get so much in debt?
I have no idea. I thought all basically.
Is it the ballpark?
Maybe.
It's a newer park.
It's kind of new, but I think that would, like, I mean, you
They
owe
might have
it.
Gone in debt to build the stadium, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you don't pay off
based
your house
on the financing
usually.
And the city. Like with all the Houston stadiums, the city gets involved and like gives you a really sweet deal.
Like right. what I owe on my house, I'm probably in debt.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, same.
Yeah. All right, what else you got?
Michael Schwab's doubters. He had a big day today.
We'll
have him on the show tomorrow. But he got mentions for both Jeff Passan and Ken Rosenthal as being the first to report. Was it the Jesus Sanchez deal?
There was people on the internet.
I think it was.
Yes, it was the Sanchez deal. There was people on the internet saying yesterday that he's not a real source.
I know.
There was somebody today here that told us in person that Schwab was a fraud.
And he's got Rosenthal and Passan sourcing him.
I mean, that's
a bit. That's a win.
And a guy that's not affiliated with an outlet.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's
and you know what
win.
Else? He was also showing receipts on the internet.
I know.
Like backing up his work, like showing his work today.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
the same person that said Schwab was a fraud told me last Monday that the Astros were kicking the tires on Correa.
Okay.
So there's that.
Yeah.
All right, what's winning here?
Schwabby's doubters?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think we got it.
I was going to go Wells, but Schwabby
yeah,
won me
was,
over.
I was as well, but Schwabby, he deserves it.
All right, congratulations, Schwabby. And your reward? You'll join the Killer Bees tomorrow at 5. Thanks again to Pizza and Pints at Carbach for having us out. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Victoria for doing all the legwork. She's really doing all the man work, really. We're not doing anything. I'm going to carry out my pizza box, and that's about it. Thanks to Brian. He was a big help today for a change, giving us nuggets and information, all of that, on-site engineering.
Joe George with a nice sprint to give us the Correa train.
Yeah. I love whenever Joe's excited because he just, like, runs over and doesn't tell you anything.
Just
what's
slaps
the
his
information,
phone in your face.
Joe? Yeah. And then AJ back at the station holding it down.
Thanks,
AJ. I'm Bradham. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night, Houston.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.